You want to talk soccer? Talking non-stop soccer talk. This is the show for you. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Will the second leg of the Eastern Final be as memorable as last year's? Only time will tell. Now get to work. This is TFC Pitchside with Brendan Dunlop and Thomas Michalakos.
Hello, hello, hello. Yes, this is TFC Pitchside. I am Brendan Dunlop, joined by Thomas Michalakos. I love the scriptage that our man Emil Delitz writes for the voice guy. Because it's like, if you're listening to that,
yes,
you have to be inspired. If you're like a player who happens to be, I don't know, on the bike at 12 a.m., listening to the Fan 590 on a Monday night, okay, and you hear that, get to work. Like, you're extra motivated. You got enough reason to be motivated.
You're saying the big voice guy's voice lifts you up?
Well, I just think that, like, Emil, this is a purpose. It's not just to get you, the listener, hyped or to get us hyped. It's to get everyone involved hype, a collective energy of hypeness and forceful inspiration.
Do you think it's succeeding?
I think so. Are you hyped?
I'm hyped.
I'm in a great mood today.
Great mood.
Couple of reasons.
Why?
It's our last show, so we're going out with a big bang. Scheduling will not allow for us to do a post-final show. So, leaving it all on the table today.
Everything.
Everything. Bozy's got the sensor button ready. We're on a delay. It's going to be a huge, huge show.
You still have a career, though, right? So you have to worry
still
about
have a career. Yeah, still have a career. Yeah, this is not the last show because I'm being fired, because that would just be hilarious. Okay. Hey, we're firing you. Go and do one more show. Wouldn't be foreign, but would be hilarious. Also, we got some news to celebrate. Just came down moments ago from when we taped this. Of course, we do this in the middle of the afternoon, so this might be old hat for you.
Would you like to say how we found out this news?
I would. You tell the story.
No, please. You say it best.
No, tell the story.
Well, we were chatting about what you're going to be doing in the next couple of weeks, and our super producer just walks in on the phone and goes, Vanny, Coach of the Year.
He controls the soundboard, just so you know how the dynamics work in the studio. So he did give himself the sound effect, but fully deserved. And it's great that Greg would call you to tell you the news. I also thought that was
Greg
really special.
Didn't call me. It just happened to come at the same time.
Sure.
Modest. Are you joining us from a toilet? Why does your mic sound so different today?
I'm not sure. It might be a little overmodulated for some apparent reason, but I'll figure it out.
Oh, okay. I love the mid-correction. I didn't mean to call you out on the technicalness. I just, you know.
He takes things the wrong way. We've seen this time and time again. Bozy, sometimes we agree with you, and you take it completely the other way.
How does that sound? A little better?
Yeah, you sound great.
Can I tell you why?
You're emerging from the toilet now.
The person that was in before me put the mic the wrong way. Don't understand how mic works. Mic technique 101. Whoever works here full-time, figure it out.
Putting everyone on
You know what
spot.
You should do? You should send him that message, get to work, from your voice guy. That's how it works. TFC have to get to work and find the back of the net. Bulge the old onion bag against Columbus, because that's the only way you're going through. Do you think this match could possibly be as memorable as last year's second leg?
That's hard to say, because the second leg last year was one of the best nights, games I've ever been to live at BMO. It was magical. Everything, even with the rain coming down, picturesque. It was kind of warm. Mm-hmm. The game was intense. There was goals everywhere. It has a lot to live up to. It doesn't have to live up to that. All they have to do is win. Even if it's a boring game, I don't care. If they win, it's great.
You were speaking about the elements, but weren't you in a cushy studio with Bozy and Dan Riccio?
No. I was actually pitch side with Cubani, Marco Cubani. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, not up in the stands with the people.
No, we moved. We moved from the stands. We went down to the bottom. We were actually behind the net when Hagelin scored.
Okay.
It was great. Just everything was brilliant.
Did you bump into former Toronto Mayor David Miller?
No, I didn't.
Well, you know what? You get to speak to him on this program.
Wow.
Yeah,
look at this.
David Miller. TFC super fan since day one. He's going to join us on TFC Pitchside.
That's a fact.
Speak to him in a little bit. He's a super fan, and it's great. I took my dad to the MLS Cup final, and we were in a bar before, and David Miller happened to be there. My dad's doing the whole, oh, and look who's over your shoulder there. That's Mr. David Miller.
Is that what your dad sounds like?
That's exactly what he sounds like. And then upon spotting this whispering conversation, David Miller turns around and makes some crack about the other three-letter station being better than the station we work for, and we became instant friends. It was hilarious. It was quite the bonding as the two fathers told stories about watching TFC with their children and how much suffering they'd gone through watching TFC in this short period of time, but how much joy that they were hoping to.
So you have a friendship now. There's a little
I wouldn't say friendship. I'm sure he speaks to. He's a great guy. He speaks to many of people and many of fans.
Will he vouch for you to have the key to the city at some point?
I'll have to ask. I don't think he's got that power anymore.
Come on.
I made a key. I'm still going to call him Mr. Mayor on the show yesterday. Did you hear that on Sportsnet Central?
No. What'd you say?
I was referring to the Buffalo Bills, and I said, you know, Nathan Peterman didn't work, so they've given the keys to the Ferrari back to Tyrod Taylor. And then when I said it, I'm like, that doesn't sound right. Buffalo, Ferrari? I'm like, no. Chrysler 300? And then I'm like, is that too kind? Like, am I offending any sponsors here? And I think at one point I said, like, Dodge Dart or Chevy Malibu. And I had to move on because I could hear Bills Mafia getting their mayonnaise containers ready to throw at me.
Also, you don't know who paid for advertisement.
Right.
And you're just dropping these car manufacturers like nothing, so you know. You could cause a crazy storm up in sales.
Basically, this is why this is our last show, because I am a liability when it comes to the sales department. That's exactly what's happening.
That's why people watch.
Shout out to Yellow Tech. They make the handles here on the thing. But don't care much about yellow, black and yellow. Although I know who does. That's our man, Emil Delic. Also someone who will be concerned with the black and yellow. I'm assuming that they're wearing the blacks on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I would imagine so, yeah.
The Acura in yellow looks pretty sharp coming through on those shirts. Stephen Betashore will be quite concerned. How much of his hands will be full with the Columbus Crew? Well, might be different. Be no Artur to deal with. He was a menace in the first leg, unavailable for the Crew this time out.
You think...
Did I say Betashore was going to be on the show? I was getting there.
You know what?
He's going to join us.
You're rambling. I don't know. I was with you, but I can't vouch for the fact that you actually said it. But you did say it, and I want to speak with him because he was my man of the match in the first leg. He had a terrific match, and all that he's gone through. It's going to be nice to speak to him before the big match.
Yeah, didn't you say Alex Bono was?
Alex Bono was.
Your man of the match?
No.
Man, I feel like we're both in unison because I'm pretty sure I said Bono.
Yeah, we gave it to Bono in unison. But
we gave it.
But we also had other guys. Oh, okay. And I said Stephen Betashore.
You're just such a company man. Hashtag United by Sport.
Oh, please.
I said Bono, and you were like, yep.
Please.
Forget what I said about Betashore.
Please. Have you not realized that I am the opposite of a company man? My friend, you're the company man in this booth.
I'm not clean shaven today. That's a company violation.
See, that's my point.
Let's go through some of the things here. 198 minutes it's been since TFC.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You know what? Also, I didn't realize, I don't think I said it when we did the show, or maybe like you forgetting who you give awards to. I forgot that TFC didn't have a shot on target in the first leg.
No.
I felt like they had so many opportunities.
I'm sure we mentioned that, though.
I don't think I mentioned it.
I'm pretty sure we mentioned it.
I don't know.
But isn't it crazy that this team, who scored so many goals, is having problems scoring? It was the opposite of last season in the playoffs. But this is why I feel like it's coming.
I think so,
too. And it's going to come strong.
And will it be with the return of Sebastian Giovinco and Jozy Altidore, who haven't played in 24 days?
But it's a mixture of things. It's just a team this good cannot be left off the scoreboard. They just can't, especially at home. I don't see it happening again. I think it's going to come in like a wave.
Are they going to come out hot? Do you expect them to be very aggressive in the first 15 minutes?
They have to. In the first 15 minutes, it has to be TFC because the longer it stays scoreless plays into Columbus's hands. That's what they want. They don't need to come out and start the game and try to push for a goal. They can sit back and wait for that mistake. TFC have to come out strong, and by coming out strong, you might leave holes, but Vanny wasn't given the coach of the year for no reason. I'm pretty sure they're going to be tactically okay, and I think they're going to strong arm them.
So what formation does MLS coach of the year Greg Vanny employ then?
I would have to say the 3-5-2. I love that. I love that tried and tested formation. Mm-hmm. It works strong. They play it well. They have the best wingbacks in the league. So you got to go with it, and you got to throw everything at them. They have to score within the first 15 minutes just to get Columbus to open up. Mm-hmm. Because Columbus is going to sit back and it's going to absorb the pressure, as they should. They have to score in the first 15 minutes so they can open up even more holes. Because once one goes in and Columbus starts to open up and try to push for a goal, because then they'll need one, TFC is going to pounce and going to pounce and going to pounce and going to pounce. It's going to be a bloodbath.
You predict
that's that, my prediction.
You predict that the yellow and black will be hungry for a goal. So does that mean that Alex Bono is going to have to save the day again for TFC?
Not if they score first. If they score first and they apply the pressure, I'm sure there's going to be a moment where Alex Bono is going to do something magical like he always does. Mm. And sometimes it doesn't, you don't necessarily see it. The naked eye doesn't see it, but just commanding his area, not getting a ball into his box, not letting his opponents get a ball into his box, all that. He's going to do something that is magical, but TFC is going to strong arm them. And the reason why I'm so confident in saying that is because it is the last show.
You know,
so who's going to call me on it later?
Yeah. Well, in the Twitter, Emil Dalich.
I'm not really crazy on the Twitter.
I was just distracted as you noticed because we didn't make eye contact for the last 48 seconds.
Which
but
is
I also,
odd.
I can't use the weather app on my phone. I was incredibly distracted looking up the weather, and it would be magical if it is 6 degrees tomorrow night. That's supposed to be the high tomorrow night, Wednesday. Excuse me. You're probably listening to this on Tuesday anyway. So on Wednesday night, I hope that it is still 6 degrees as it's supposed to reach at a high.
I wish the game was tomorrow.
I do as well.
13 would be nice.
Time for a high point on this show. Let's bring in our guest, TFC defender Stephen Betashore, joining us on the line. Stephen, thanks so much for taking the time for us. We really appreciate it.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So how you feeling? A couple more sleeps before you get out there for the second leg? We're expecting a completely different game than we saw in Columbus last week. How you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling good. I'm excited. I think the guys are excited to go. I feel like we've had, you know, so many training sessions just, you know, from the last round to now. So the guys are eager to play, and we're looking forward to it.
Do you like that you've had so many training sessions? I mean, I think I saw you had Saturday off. They let you at least watch the Vanier Cup and put your feet up and watch Hockey Night in Canada, I guess?
Yeah. We got a day off here or there, but for the most part, we've been in and working hard and just eager to go on Wednesday. It's going to be a fun game at home in front of our crowd, and we're definitely excited about it.
Compare this journey, then. We'll start with the team, and then we'll get to you. The journey this season compared to last.
I mean, it's been a fun journey. Obviously, I think last year the expectations weren't necessarily there. We knew we had a good team, but you know, we had a little bit of change as far as the defensive players coming in, and we knew we had a good attacking team, but we had to solidify ourselves as far as the defensive end goes. So that was last year, and this year I think we really put our foot down the way we wanted to play and be tough to play against, and you know, score a lot of goals. I think it was entertaining for the fans and for us, and there was a little bit more expectation because we did make the finals from last year. So yeah, the journey's been fun so far.
Now, your journey was kind of sidelined with that injury. We've spoken about it before, but the way you play the game hasn't changed, which is kind of concerning in the sense where I said it from the last game, I thought your performance was epic in the sense where you just were throwing your body everywhere. I mean, there was one block, you threw your body in the air to block the cross with your hands behind your back. That was crazy. And given the injury that you've passed through now you're okay. Did anything change mentally to go to play so physical, because you consistently play physical?
Yeah, I think that's just kind of my style, and maybe the first couple games coming back where I was just getting those first minutes, I might have been aware of it or it was in the back of my head, but now it honestly feels like it was an injury that happened a year ago, like last season, and I don't even think about it. It's just I'm in the moment, and I'm trying to do everything I can to help our team win, and, you know, I got to sometimes sacrifice my body.
There's so much depth in this team, as we've seen, as we saw on display in the first leg in Columbus as well. What's the feeling like in that change room as you get set to, you know, embark on this second leg again and get to a place that you got to last year, bringing the final back to Toronto? What's the mood like right now in that change room?
Yeah, I think the mood is great. I think everybody's eager to go. Like I mentioned earlier, we've had a lot of training sessions, and you know, guys are excited, guys are happy, and we're ready to go. And you know, Wednesday can't come soon enough. I wish it were today, but we got two more days. And you know, I heard you guys talking about the weather hopefully being nice for us, so we can put a good good match for the fans, and I think they're excited as well. They've been waiting for this home game for a little while as well.
Now, your manager, Greg Vanney, was just named MLS Coach of the Year today. So is it going to be a little more spice to his pregame speech tomorrow or Wednesday, excuse me? What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. He's got that on his resume now, so we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. I'm pretty sure Greg likes to keep things the same. And, you know, whatever's worked to get us this far, I'm sure he won't go too far from it. But it's definitely something that he deserves for sure.
Is he a quote guy? Is he going to pull out a bunch of, like, random historical quotes from back in the day to inspire you guys a little bit?
You know, he hasn't in the past, but, you know, now that he's got that award under his belt, he might just change it up a little bit. He can now. He's got free reigns for sure.
Now, looking towards the game, you guys haven't scored in a long time, which is odd for TFC.
198 minutes. 198 just to be specific,
minutes.
Actually.
Do you guys feel that? Do you guys feel like just not happening for it? Like, how's the mindset? How do you prepare to score?
Yeah, you just get Sabon Josie back.
it's that easy. Psychologically,
are they
though,
sitting right next to you now as you do this interview? Are they sitting next to you?
Yeah. Right next to me, just giving me the evil eye. No.
Psychologically, though.
It's circumstances. Obviously, the second leg against New York, we knew we were going into the game with a good position. We had the 2-1 victory at their place, two away goals. And, you know, for the most part, all but one game against Montreal, no one had beaten us at our place. So we knew if we were smart and we managed the game, then no one could beat us. You know, we didn't want to overexpose ourselves kind of how we did against Montreal. And that's the only reason, you know, anyone beat us. We were sloppy on the ball. We were overexposed. So as long as we didn't do that, we would have been fine. And, you know, they had different tactics and antics that they tried to pull off to you know, sway the game in their favor. But, you know, fortunately, besides that fluke of a goal that they scored from 40 yards out, you know, I thought we handled it really well. And then the game in Columbus, you're missing the two best strikers in the league with Seba and Josie. So I think they'd be more disappointed in themselves than we were that they didn't get out of that game with a victory. You know, if we're going away on the road without the two best forwards in the league and, you know, we get a draw, it's not the worst thing in the world. So I think we're confident. You know, Wednesday, like I said, we've been training hard. Guys have been in great spirits and we're ready to go. And, you know, we got Seba and Josie back and you'll definitely see some goals.
A lot of training sessions, as we mentioned. It's been a long time, and certainly a long time since those guys have played. Again, 24 days since Josie and Seba have been on the pitch in a competitive match. But I saw that you checked out the Christmas market last night in Distillery District. How's it looking so far? It's early. I still can't believe we're getting ready for Christmas.
Yeah, no, my wife and I, we love the Christmas markets. It's great. Last year we went with Justin, his wife, and their daughter as well, and it was kind of one of those little traditions. Let's go again, and it's beautiful over there, especially when it snows. We see some of the pictures online and on Instagram. It's just beautiful. So we definitely have fun.
Justin and Beta, there could be a podcast.
That's
there,
that's a bromance right there. Sounds like it.
just because we're talking about you being out in public, I got to ask you, how many times do people come up and be like, Nazem Kadri? Do you get that ever?
Too often. Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to, the next MLSE event, you'll have to get a photo together and be like, look, we're in the same room. Leave us alone.
Yeah. I think a lot of people want to see that happen for sure.
Steven, we really appreciate you joining us, man. Thanks so much. Best of luck on Wednesday. You've had a great season so far. We're really looking forward to seeing how the season finishes up. And it's not going to be on Wednesday night. It's going to be on December the 9th.
Yeah, you got it. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Thanks very much. TFC's Steven Betashore getting ready for that big second leg.
Not worried, though.
No.
He made it great to talk to. Yeah, and he made a good point. You know, it was circumstances that arose for them to play the way they did, where they haven't been scoring. Now that those circumstances aren't there and there's a need to score, this is why I feel like it's going to be a bloodbath. They're out for blood.
Yeah. He sounded incredibly confident and comfortable. And that's, I think, how a lot of people hope that Toronto FC will take the pitch on Wednesday.
Yeah, and really roaring to go. They're raring to go. Sorry, I'm getting tongue-tied here, but
They're raring, roaring, either or.
Either or works, but yeah, they really want to play. And imagine if you're setting up for this game psychologically, you're gearing up and you're training, you're doing all the right things, and it's just not happening soon enough. I mean, there's two more days.
You know what's not happening soon enough? The conclusion to this whole save the crew thing.
What do you mean?
Well, are they going to Austin? Are they not going to Austin? Has this run helped save them? Because there's still a few things working against them. Obviously, this stadium was the problem. Bottom three in attendance. Bottom three in revenue. I mean, we spoke last week about how there's a real passion in that city, and it's a founding franchise.
They're not showing up.
I think they should be given a chance. And there's an opportunity. As Bozy told us, the city of Columbus, they got approval to do a land survey and a financial impact report. So they're making some moves, hoping that the team doesn't make a move to Austin, who apparently haven't secured or been able to commit 10,000 season tickets or something, which is one of the things they need in order to guarantee that they'd be able to move the team, third MLS team, to the state of Texas.
Well, it's interesting, though, that Columbus is doing everything they need to be doing on the pitch. They pulled off a great second half to get into the playoffs, finish farther up the table than anyone expected, and they're in the conference final. What happens if they win? Now, you have a winning franchise who just won MLS Cup, and you're going to relocate them. We've seen this before in MLS, where they relocate a champion.
San Jose to Houston.
Yeah.
Dwayne De Rosario.
Different time now. Mm-hmm. Things have changed, but would they really do that? I would assume that Austin would love it, bringing in a championship side. Mm-hmm. But for the crew and the fans, really, imagine you celebrate your team winning MLS Cup, and then they're gone.
It'd be pretty heartbreaking. I couldn't imagine, you know, being a fan of the Seattle Supersonics or the Vancouver Grizzlies, but I don't think that's accurate.
No.
And the Quebec Nordique.
Quebec Nordique.
The original Jets,
you know, yeah.
Knowing that there's enough passion, knowing that everyone in that city pours their heart into the team,
money.
But someone with a lot of money and someone in a financial office tells you that it's just not enough. Yeah, I couldn't imagine being in that situation. I also feel as though underneath that root sweatshirt that Emil Delic is wearing behind the glass, he's got a hashtag Save the Crew shirt on. Because the notes, the Delic rundown here, quite a few notes. Also, I mean, we just kind of breezed over it because it's well late in the day for anyone who's listening on the radio or listening to the podcast on Tuesday, that Greg Vanney, MLS Coach of the Year. But in your notes here, it was almost as if you were doubtful Delic. You thought, well, I don't know, it should be Vanney, but Tata Martino, everyone loves him, they were great. Greg Beerhalter's, you know, he's overachieved. I mean, did you actually think they would give it to Caleb Porter? He lost his job. Why do you have him on here?
No, I just, the nominees are up there for you.
Oh, the nominees. Yeah, yeah. Oh, see, yeah. It was just phrased in a
Panovich
particular way.
And that Martino were the nominees. But those are some good coaches that were on that list that he took down during this fall stretch, for example. I wasn't doubtful, but the doubt that I did have comes from the awards that were given out this year.
Yeah.
Comeback, okay. And defender, okay. I mean, fine. MVP probably won't go to Seba. If there's one award that's deserving, this is it. But I'm doubtful of this league making the right decision much of the time.
See, you make absolute sense now. But when you brought this up to him when we were having our little pre-talk, it was like you hit a beehive.
Yeah.
It was, you totally
thought
saying,
I was picking on him.
Yeah, but you weren't. Mm. But now, the way he spoke and presented his facts totally makes sense.
Well, because we did a pre-show meeting. See, this is why sometimes it's great, better to not do pre-show meetings. But that would make him so uncomfortable. You want to make Emil Delic uncomfortable? Show up with just enough time to do the show and be like, nah, no meeting. And he's like, oh, no, I don't need your rundown. And then just watch him sweat behind the glass. Could actually hear it.
All that hard work, you know, just...
Yeah, I could see why. I could see why you'd feel that way, because you put in time to put this rundown together.
Yeah, that and the fact that I'm well aware that I'm one of the most difficult on-air people to deal with, because
no,
I have
not.
No
Come
concept
on.
Of time. I forget. You can tell me something 10 times, and I'll still go, what was that? You guys don't... I don't know if you, the audience, can pick up when Thomas is getting very long-winded. It's because, like, I'm slamming the talk back button over here, like, what time are we going to break? Who's next?
For sure.
I know I went off the road. What was I talking about, lacrosse earlier? What was it? No. CFL?
CFL.
I don't know.
Well, you're
like
Argos
time.
Fans. Congratulations
oh,
to
yeah.
Argos.
The Toronto Argonauts. Grey Cup champions. GC 105.
You wore an Argos hat the last show.
I did wear an Argos hat the last show.
I was
show,
surprised
yeah.
to see that. Well, it didn't take you for an Argos fan. I didn't think you cared for CFL.
That would simply because that's ageism. That's ageism. You don't think I like the CFL.
What do you mean?
Well, because most people our age don't like the CFL.
No, there was times when I was young, I would watch CFL with my father.
Did you
when
realize
I was younger.
You just had to go into a time machine to tell me when it was
exactly,
appropriate for you to like it.
But here's the thing. You're roughly the same age as me. So to say that I'm being ageist against you, it's just facts.
Yeah,
it's
we're
reality.
Talking about the present. I wore a hat last week.
It's reality.
You thought it was crazy that I would like the CFL.
Yeah, I don't
see. So why are we talking about when you were eight?
Because I'm trying to tell you that you never mentioned the CFL ever before. My God.
I'm really sad that we don't have... actually, you know, the reason this
I have so much more to say.
Oh.
Yeah, TFC's got to win, or else it'll be the only team that doesn't have a championship that plays at BMO.
We got to take a break, or Emil's just going to walk in here and cut us off. David Miller joins us next. This is TFC Pitchside. Don't go anywhere.
Follow the guys on Twitter, at Brendan_Dunlop, and at UnfitRef.
And we're going there to score goals. You know, we know we're at home. We feel good about ourselves at home. And so the two coaches who are two of the most tactical coaches in the league, I think that cat and mouse will exist throughout the entire 180 minutes. But I think it'll be a little bit different in this leg just based on what's at stake.
Yeah, excited to play. It's been 20-some-odd days, so it'll be nice to get back on the field for sure. Every game you play, there's pressure. There's no difference between the pressure in this game, between the pressure of a World Cup qualifier, between the pressure of a knockout game in another league. You know, there's always pressure, so you got to be able to deal with that. You don't see me banging my head against my wall at home, just sitting there waiting to play because days go by, weeks. I mean, that's the format. Obviously, with international break, stuff like that, there's nothing you can do about it, so everybody's got to deal with it, and I think the fans too at home, you know, 20-some days since the last time we had a home game. So everybody involved, it's frustrating, but you got to keep yourself ready, keep yourself focused on, you know, what we're playing for. Yeah, I'm going to keep my hands behind my back this game. Make sure I conduct myself in a good way. And yeah, it's hard, man. Emotions will fly. I mean, look, you put everything you have into these months, these games. You know, all the preseason, all the diet stuff, whatever guys do at home, it all culminates into this. So sometimes the emotion get the best of you. I'm not saying it's right, but you got to understand that a lot goes into these type of days. And so make sure you got to leave it all out there.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Hey, it's Jonathan Osorio and you're listening to TFC Pitchside.
Welcome back to TFC Pitchside. If you're just joining us, you probably had no idea what show you were listening to. Because I'm pretty sure they don't play reggae on Good Show or on Jeff Blair in the Bundesliga. Is that what they call the Jeff Blair show, right? That's Jeff Blair's Bundesliga, 9:30 to 12 on Sportsnet The Fan 590 with Kevin Barker. He loves his Bundesliga. You ever hear him?
Never.
Oh, man, Kaiserslautern, they're the best. Loves them.
Yeah,
big fan of Werder Bremen.
Not even in the Bundesliga, Kaiserslautern. But, you know.
Hey, let him do his Pokal picks or whatever. He's a man from Virginia talking about the Bundesliga.
All wrong.
It's got
the sounds of it.
It's got to start somewhere. Hey, it's got to start somewhere. That was just my accent. I listen to too much country music. I've actually blended it together.
I wish I knew that from before.
Yeah, it's shocking that it never came up. But don't act like you've never had your head turned by a Blake Shelton song.
You mean World's Sexiest Man?
And I was thinking more, I'll Name the Dogs. You heard that one? Oh, it's great. The hook is, you name the babies, I'll name the dogs.
That's an actual song?
That's the actual hook.
That's why I'm not a fan of country music.
Mm, okay. Well, there's a lot of other things to be a fan of. Time now to talk to one of the biggest fans in all of Toronto. One of the biggest TFC fans of all time, many would say. He has a
original
Toronto FC kit collection that is bigger than my suit collection here at Sportsnet. Not to say, actually, that I have a ton of suits, but how many kits have TFC had in their 11 years of existence?
At least
seven.
Over
eight
kits?
Yeah.
Because every other year, they'll redesign the home jersey. Usually, that's what it is. Now, I think it's every year they redesign it, so who knows?
The one they had last year, they wore for two.
Yeah, it usually skips a year, and then they redesign the home or away.
Because the Jermaine Defoe year with the black V-neck, and it was like the super tight fitted. It was the Adidas, UA Tech.
Yeah.
Lots of people didn't like that. It didn't make the belly midsection
look
so well.
Well, it's for athletes, not, fans, really. What are you arguing about?
How many TFC kits do you have in your collection, Michalakos?
Ooh, my first one was the original gray. Long sleeve. I think I have about six. Two with one with a name. Marvell Wynn.
Wow. that's amazing.
That's the one I have.
Well, I cannot wait to ask TFC's number one fan, former mayor of Toronto, and president of WWF Canada, David Miller, if he happens to have a Marvell Wynn jersey. Mr. Miller, thanks so much for joining us on TFC Pitchside. We appreciate it.
Thanks. Pleasure to be on, and keep up the great stuff.
And do you happen to have a Marvell Wynn jersey in your kit collection, which I hear is quite large?
I was about to say, regretfully, no, but the answer is actually just no.
Is there a Rohan Ricketts shirt in that
collection? I actually once had a beer with Rohan Ricketts. He was a character.
He's very much a character. Yeah, he's a great guy. He's got an academy in Toronto now as well. He's been all over the world sharing his South London accent and sharing the beautiful game. And a lot of people in this city, thank you very much for all the work that you've done with the beautiful game, because, really, BMO Field could be the house that David Miller built in a lot of people's eyes.
Well, people have been really gracious. Joe Pantalone had a lot to do with it as well. He was the deputy mayor and chair of Exhibition Place at the time. But, we were pleased to play our part. The deal had fallen apart, and if the city hadn't stepped up, BMO probably wouldn't have been built at all. And it was critical. Not at the time, TFC was really an idea. It was really for the under-20 World Cup, mm-hmm. and that's how we were able to mobilize things. And the success of the team has been beyond anybody's wild imaginings at the time. And if people were at the first game, I certainly knew from that moment it was going to be a huge success. But until that moment, nobody knew. So when we said, the city's got to ante up some money, and in exchange we'll own the stadium and take half the profits but none of the losses, even that great deal seemed a bit of a stretch, but it sure turned out to be the right thing.
So what's it like for you now to see the stadium and see how it's grown, expanded into this fortress? I mean, when I'm driving down the Gardiner Expressway and I peer to my right and see the stadium, I mean, it's such a great sight to have in this city. I love the city. I love the beautiful game, and I love that it looks like such a proper ground.
Well, it's very funny for me, because I get anywhere near the stadium and I become a supporter, and all of my public duties go out the window. I went by today just to look at it. And I'm wearing, by the way, I heard your introduction here, I'm wearing the Defoe era Onyx, not
yes.
black.
Yeah.
The slim fitting one, apparently.
Uh-huh.
I'm wearing that right now just to get ready for Wednesday. And I think the field just captures all that feeling. It's so great. And in the playoffs last year and through almost every game this year, the feeling in the stands is fantastic. It's come back like the first 3 years, only even better, because we're actually winning. It's not just support for a club, it's support for a club that is absolutely superb on the pitch, and it's fantastic. And I think the field and the red seats and everything is just so symbolic of that feeling.
I love everything about BMO. Just getting there on game time has always been a nightmare for me. I usually come down King Street. Now with the King Street closer to the streetcars, are you in favor of that? Do you think that will help the city and the team, more people getting to the games?
It should help people get there on time. I mean, whatever people think about it, the idea of having a streetcar with, you know, 140 people, or one of the modern ones with 180, sitting behind one person who wants to turn left, it just makes no sense, right?
True.
So this at least opens it up for mass numbers, and the one place that bugs me a bit as a ardent TFC supporter is often people aren't in their seats at game time, and a lot of that has to do with, you know, traffic and things like that. So maybe this will help. Let's see.
Kimchi fries and the you know, varying beer brands that they have available, that also contributes to it.
Well, I think, you know, if they had beer even less than $5 until game time, they might see a lot more people get there sharply on time. But
yeah.
I'm not a marketer. I'm a former elected official, so I'll let the marketing gurus figure that out.
So you're happy with this current elected official's decision to do this and the job that he's doing?
I think King Street's interesting. You know, I sort of wonder, with modern technology, is there a way to put bollards in the street to come up in rush hour or not? And I no longer have the benefit of asking the very smart civil servants what's possible, so I don't know. But it's interesting, and it's nice to see Toronto doing an experiment. Past that, I don't particularly want to comment on John. You know, he gets enough comments from the sidelines. I'm sure he doesn't need mine.
I was going to shift the conversation off of the political angle because I didn't know where my co-host Thomas McLakis was going to take this next, and what your other opinions are on maybe Scarborough or anything. But I do wonder.
When do you ever talk to a former mayor? Come on.
I do actually wonder your thoughts on the prospect of our city of Toronto hosting World Cup games in 2026. Should the USA Canada Mexico joint bid be granted to North America and the prospect of having games here? How incredible would that be?
I would so love to see that. And I, you know, when the stadium was built, Canadian Soccer Association said, you know, if we do a really good job in under 20, maybe we'll get the World Cup one day. And I sort of smiled and nodded and in my head said, yeah, right. Come on. We're gonna bring the World Cup to Canada. We can't even make it. How are we going to get it here? And, you know, it's now, I mean, it looks like we'll have a game here. I think it would be, or several, I think it would be fantastic, and it would be beautiful symmetry to BMO. You know, its official title is Canada's National Soccer Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be fantastic. You guys know, I grew up in England. My uncle took me to Ipswich Town game when I was very little, so for my sins, I've been an Ipswich Town supporter ever since, although they did have a great run at the end of the 1970s, just been a bit bleak since. But, you know, I've loved the game. I was in England when they won in 1966, and the place was crazy. The idea of being able possibly to see Canada play in a World Cup in a game here in Toronto, that would just be fantastic. And I can tell you for absolute certain, Toronto would be going crazy. People here go crazy over the World Cup anyway. Having it here, it would just be out of sight.
If that does happen, I think you should have be in charge of the ceremonial kickoff, given the fact what you did for TFC and getting TFC to be TFC and having a stadium and everything. But you said you're an Ipswich fan. You have and you collect jerseys. Do you have a Craig Forrest jersey in your collection?
I don't, but I do. I have two Ipswich jerseys. Don't get much call to wear them. But it's great. There's been a good tradition of Canadians playing for Ipswich, quite a few, and it's been nice to see over the years. In fact, I was in England a couple of years ago, and I went up to Ipswich and caught them playing Leeds. And I went to get my ticket at the will call window, and the woman said, oh, there was just another Canadian right before you. So apparently they're the Canadian fans away team.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah, I can definitely see where that comes from. They're probably, apart from you, they're probably all from BC and their family of Craig Forrest, perhaps.
Yes, exactly.
I can see the impact that he's definitely made. Let's talk about this team right now. You know, who's your favorite player on the pitch for TFC at the moment?
Jonathan Osorio.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's had a tough year. I think he's been playing exceptionally well for the last 6 to 8 weeks, but his position sort of got supplanted by Vasquez and maybe a little bit Marky Delgado. So he's had a tough year, but I like him because he's young, he's Canadian, he's scored some key goals, including the playoffs last year. You watch him improve, and he's ours. And he wears his heart on his sleeve. You know, last game he got kind of a stupid yellow for a dissent, but it was because he's just so much wants TFC to win and is putting everything into it. And I really love seeing the young Canadians come along, and so he's my guy.
Thomas and I were talking about the match on Wednesday and how Columbus might come out. I think that, TFC, Thomas said that TFC has to be aggressive in those first 15 minutes. They have to score first. And I do agree with him because I feel as though that Columbus have it in themselves to be very New York Red Bull-like and get under the skin of TFC because all the pressure's on Toronto. There's no pressure on Columbus. How do you see things playing out Wednesday?
I'm not sure with Archer not there. I don't know the guy who's replacing him very well, but I'm not sure they'll be very good at getting under the skin of TFC, but I do worry. Higuain is fantastic. He seems to have lost maybe a half a step, but he has killed us so many times. And, the last couple of years we haven't done too badly against Columbus, but historically they've been a bit of a bogey team. And it makes me incredibly nervous. Plus they've got this kind of emotional thing with the owner supposedly wanting to move them to Austin, mm-hmm. although I think it's likely just a bargaining ploy. But they've got an emotional thing going for them. Their fans are behind them. All the fans in the league are saying, save the crew. So I think the dynamic is hard for us. And yes, I agree. If we get an early goal, it switches things and puts all the pressure on them. And it also would relieve some from Josie and Seba, who are probably, I would hope, feeling pretty chastened and anxious to play, and they'll need something good to happen so they can relax and get into the game.
What was your best moment at the ground that Mayor Miller built?
Well, there have been dozens. I love little moments. God, I'm forgetting his name right now, but the best finisher in the modern era that Paul Mariner brought on scored in a meaningless game in the rain to tie Dallas 2-2, and we all went crazy because he'd finally got a goal. I love those moments. There's all sorts of them. Every season there's a moment or two. But for me, of course, the absolute best has to be Benoit Cheyrou's goal last year against Montreal. I mean, you can't be a TFC supporter for 11 years without that being your favorite moment. The timing, the fact we've been down 3-0 in the first leg after losing 3-0 the year before, and the fact we went down 1-0 in that game, and the weather conditions, and the fans never stopped cheering the entire game, and the fact it was Benoit Cheyrou, it was his second touch after he came on, and it was just magic, and really by 2012 or so, none of us ever thought we'd see that happen, so it was just everything you could imagine as a supporter.
I've been to a Champions League final. I've been to a European Championship final, several Premier League games, and that game is by far the best game I've ever seen in
Absolute
person.
Absolute best.
And I don't know what it would take or what match possible would top it. I had hoped that the MLS Cup final against Seattle would have topped it. And one of my standout moments from that match was actually before the match. I was in a bar with my dad, and we'd bumped into you, and we had a great conversation with you just before, and we were a similar conversation to this, just talking about the last, the 10 years and leading up to getting to this point and how neither of us could believe here we were with a chance of, watching Toronto put their hands in the trophy. And sadly, in the end, that wasn't meant to be, but that was a pretty good moment for my dad and I that night.
Well, it was for me, too. It was lots of fun before the game. I actually went back for a post-match beer, and oh, my gosh.
Oh, the depression in the same bar. I went there as well.
Oh, that was just so bleak, and it was all so sudden, If it had been any other way of losing, but, off the crossbar, gone. I'd said to myself, even if they lose, it's been such a great year, I'm going to stand and applaud the team off the pitch, but it was so sudden, we were out of there before we even knew it. It was tough to take, and if that's how we feel, those players must be so motivated, and I think channeling that motivation and going through that experience is going to really help make a difference on Wednesday, because we've been there, this group of Columbus players, most of them haven't, and I think it'll give us the edge. I certainly hope so.
I couldn't agree more. Last question for you then. What jersey are you going to bust out on Wednesday?
Oh, day one.
There you go.
Old school. school, Toronto FC, not even BMO, Toronto FC.
Awesome. David Miller, thanks so much for taking the time to join us. It was great to speak with you. Enjoy the match on Wednesday, and I look forward to celebrating maybe on Twitter and sharing some tweets about a big TFC victory.
Well, let's hope. It's a pleasure being on. Thanks, guys.
Cheers. David Miller joining us. He'll be watching. There'll be many, many eyes on that match, many eyes in that stadium. We've already had this conversation. You're going as well?
Not going now.
Not going now,
unfortunately.
Things have changed.
Yes.
You've got the work.
The life of Michalakos, things have changed, and all for the worse.
Well, I would promote that you can watch it on your phone, but I won't because it's a different station. I think that does it for us, unless, Bozy, there's any other points you want to get to. We got to wrap things up. I don't know. I'm all totally lost with the clock. This is what I mean when I say I'm the worst person.
Is this where I go long winded again and just let it?
No, it's not.
Are you sure?
He's got the red light on. I can hear his dulcet tones. He's corrected the bass. He's not in the toilet.
Let's hear Bozy.
Definitely not. I just want to say thank you, Brendan, for jumping on with us and helping us finish the season. I mean, you really pinched it. One of the best pinch hitters, I think, in this industry.
Oh, thanks,
no question, and just want to say thank you from both Thomas and I and Dan from FC Seaside or whatever he's doing. just want to say thanks again. Really did a great job, and hopefully the marriage goes just as smooth as this show has been
the last couple months. I appreciate that. No, it's been a real pleasure. It was a real pleasure to work with you. I haven't had the opportunity much before, apart from being a guest on a couple of Riccio projects before that you guys have done, but always enjoyed the work and always enjoyed joining Thomas when you guys made the offer for me to join you on pitch side, so it was nice to have the opportunity to do a few shows.
It was a steep offer, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, it was, you know, yeah, Riccio and you sitting in that little old closet that they've now demolished. Now look at this beautiful studio that someone else will use incorrectly and turn the mics around upside down.
Really, though, new studio, new host.
Speaking in mono. Hi, this is the radio. What? Where's the microphone? No idea.
New studio, new host. It just kind of happened to play that way and play out that way.
I guess that's how it played out that way. Well, we'll see how things play out for Toronto FC on Wednesday. Also for how things play out in the West, which I know we completely ignored in the last edition of TFC Pitch Sound.
For good reason.
The Sounders with a 2-0 advantage as they go home for the second leg. Looking like an MLS Cup final rematch.
All eyes are on the Sounders and TFC. Come on.
What are they going to call it, though?
I don't know. I'm not good with that. Or else I'd be working in England, given those headlines, because those guys are fantastic.
Yeah, you make good points. Yeah, this was a real pleasure. I very much enjoyed listening to the show and very much enjoyed that when I heard that Dan Riccio had it built. So we spoke to the man who had a huge hand in building BMO Field. And shout out to the man who had a big hand in building TFC Pitchside and putting it on Sports on the Fan 590. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the match on Wednesday. And we'll speak to you again eventually.
This that theme music. Some back on your dean music. Toe Swiss, gotta put the top down. Drive by my old school just to make my dean lose it. Always said I'd be a dropout. Yeah, only right I bring the dropout. Look, and every day is first class. Not bad for the kid who never made his first class. I'm in homeroom with Jada. If you miss something, rewind that. Memories take you back to the time. Take the time to remember that you can't get the time back. Now your boy's invincible. Got me teaching principles. It just make me wanna holler. You can't even get a dollar, cause I can't talk sense to you. They wanna front till you jump in the back. Shorty named Rosa, jump in the back. House party days, you get jumped in the back. Nowadays, the jump balls just jump in the back. Swish, my jumper is back. The bars is up, high jumper is back. Gonna make one of the gremlins jump from the back. Put the strap over the shoulder like the jumpers is back. Yeah, the Euro step, the German Ruger. You already know, boy, easy Kruger. Kill, still move keys to Uber. Real, still gotta feed the shooters. First comes the torture, then they abuse you. Are you the victim, are you the accuser? Nowadays, the dealers, worse than the users. Besides that, the system, thirsty to lose us. Yeah. Flow smooth over the Marvin. Show and prove over the talking. They told me as a young G, even when you hungry, never move like you starving. Any questions, asking above. Any problems, massing the gloves.